Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Thanks, orchestra. Let's stand, congregation. We're going to sing to our King today. I hope you came ready to worship the Lord. Let's do it together.
Sing to the King who is coming to reign. Glory to Jesus, the Lamb that was slain. Life and salvation, His empire shall bring. Joy to the nations when Jesus is King.
Sing to the King, because He is all we need, that song says. We bless His name today. That's what this hymn says.
All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the Lord,
Wonderful singing.
Thank you so much, Kim. We're really glad to see you today. You know, today and next Sunday, really the last couple of Sundays before everyone's schools get back to order. That's why on August the 23rd, it's our kickoff Sunday, and we want you to do everything you can to be here, be involved in one of our connection groups at one of the optional hours, and we hope that you will be a part of worship on a weekly basis as well. Hey, listen. If you're a guest, welcome to the First Baptist Church of Springdale. Thank you for coming. In the chair back in front of you, there is a special communication card, we call it, a way you can communicate with us. I hope that you will complete that right now. And if you would you fill it out and place it in the offering plate in just a few moments from now? I want to remind all of our members, as well as attenders and guests today, that on the back of that card is a way you can communicate with us about any prayer requests that you might have. And it would be a joy for us to be able to pray for you as well each week. Would you please turn today and say good morning to four or five folks around you. And may God give us a wonderful day in Him today.
So once did I.
Thank you, Collier. Great job, man. Oh, Collier, he can bring it, can he? Amen. That's one singing lawyer. I love it. I don't know a lot of lawyers that sing, and I know a few. I'm glad they don't sing. And so we're grateful. Hey, listen, you know, we're just right now opening up an orphanage that we are in partnership with the Bigger Than Life Foundation. We've talked about that a little bit. And, you know, this week something very unique happened. We received our third child. And that third child, that child's mom, had twins, unknowing to everyone. The mom died. The twin died. But we received this little girl. And there she is. And we are her mom and her dad. And you know, it just reminds us again of the importance of our faithfulness and our consistency in giving. Folks, we're talking about big time stuff here. We're not talking about nursery rhymes here. I mean, we're talking about real life change, real ministry, real care, real New Testament church. We're talking about making a difference around the world. I mean, we're talking about the deal. And so when you give, please know you give to make a difference around the world. But you give not motivated by that. You give because you love Jesus. And you're never more like Christ than when you give of your time, the resources, the money, everything God has blessed you with in your life. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus today that you would help your people to explode with generosity. I pray, Father, that we will understand that it doesn't matter how much we give, there will be no way in the world that we will ever outgive God. And I pray that, Lord, you would bless your people. I pray that you would prosper your people. And I pray that major, major needs would be met in the life of our people because of their faithfulness to obey God. And may God be praised through those who give. And Lord, we pray today as we look towards the Philippians 2 passage today that you would bring that passage alive to us. I pray that we will understand before we leave today in a way we've never understood before that Jesus is Lord. And I pray, Lord, that it would absolutely convict our hearts, not simply to be stirred, but to be changed. Do a work in all of us today. Do a work in me today. Minister life as we worship. And we declare today that Jesus is the Messiah. He is God's anointed. And to him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Would you be seated?
We'd like for you to sing this chorus with us. In just a moment. It's kind of a new song, but you'll catch the chorus. It's very crazy.
Oh, he became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so
If you have your Bible today, I want you to look with me into Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. And in a moment, I'm going to read a portion of that passage. Today, I want to talk to you on the subject, Jesus is Lord. And because He is Lord today, would you stand in honor of His Word? And this morning, would you read along with me Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. For this reason, God also highly exalted Him and gave Him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. To you and to you alone, we offer today our praise. Amen. When Paul declared that Jesus is Lord, it is also clear that he meant Caesar is not. Do you realize this morning that when Jesus is Lord, then nothing else competes whatsoever at all with his Lordship. Have you stopped and thought about it recently, what it means for Jesus to be Lord? For some of us, when we hear that phrase, Jesus is Lord, about the best we can do is to give it a sigh. Others of us, perhaps, well, whatever. And even some might even think, well, so what? What does that mean to me if Jesus is really Lord? May I say to you today that it means everything to you because Jesus is Lord. You will never realize the potential God has for you and planned for you until you fully embrace and understand that Jesus is Lord. Let's talk about it today. First of all, Jesus is Lord. What does it mean biblically? According to the Bible, what does it mean for Jesus to be Lord? Look with me to chapter 2. Verse 9 through 11. Let's go through it together. The Bible says, for this reason. For what reason? You have to go back and you have to track the first several verses there, understanding that those first several verses in chapter 2 of Philippians talks about how Jesus humiliated himself. How Jesus, who was fully God, did not hold on to that for his own advantage or for his own sake. But what did he do? He poured himself out, the scripture says, And he made himself nothing. He made himself nothing and he humiliated himself because he loved us. And he took on the form of a man. And he came to this earth and he lived a sinless life. And he died in the most cruel, excruciating, embarrassing, humiliating manner. And that's death on a cross. And he did that for you and for me. For this reason, God did something. Because of what Jesus did, God did something. Just a thought. Jesus' humiliation was the reason for Jesus' exaltation. Usually in life, God takes you down before God puts you up. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 6, the scripture says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." God highly exalted him, meaning that Jesus was a unique individual, that Jesus was distinct from all other creation. Because of what he did, God lifted him up and God gave him the name that is above every name. Now, the new name of Jesus Christ here in the scripture is the name Lord. In the Hebrew, that name was Yahweh. In the Greek, that name is Kyrios, meaning Lord, translated Lord. Therefore, Jesus' resurrection gave him the new name, and the new name is Lord. His earthly name was Jesus. His heavenly name after the resurrection was Lord. Jesus is Lord. How do we know all that? Acts 2, verse 32, the scripture says, God has resurrected. Notice what it says. This Jesus. He had been telling them how they had killed this Jesus on the cross. And the same Jesus that was killed was the same Jesus that God raised from the dead. Acts 2, verse 33, what does he declare? He, Jesus, has been exalted. Acts 2, verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know with certainty that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, two things. Notice what he says, both Lord and Messiah. Lord, meaning he's in absolute, complete control of everything. Messiah, meaning that he is the anointed one, totally different than anyone else, set aside, distinct, unique above all. So Jesus' resurrection gave to him this whole new name called Lord. There is even a correlation of that. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 2, the Bible says, on the first day of the week. Do you know why he talked about on the first day of the week? Because on the first day of the week was the day that Jesus was raised from the dead. The Sabbath lost its importance there after the cross and after the resurrection. We do not celebrate the Sabbath. We celebrate the Lord's Day, the new day, the first day of the week, which is Sunday, the day the Lord was raised from the dead. That's a good little thought for all of us to remember, that Sunday is a special day because it was on that day that our Lord was raised. And it was on that day that he became literally Lord of all. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 refers to the lordship of Jesus. It says, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Did you hear that? Again, the resurrection and the lordship are linked inseparably. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. And you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So what does it mean to be saved according to Romans 10 verse 9? Break it down. It's very simple. That if you confess with your mouth, with your words, with your life, Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You know, being saved is not difficult, even though being saved is difficult for people to ever come to the point in their lives to realize that we're not in charge and Jesus is everything. That we cannot save ourselves, but Christ is the Savior of all. To realize that we are not Lord and we're not in charge, but He alone is in charge, and we give ourselves completely to Him. That's what we call salvation. So being saved means that with your mouth, you're declaring Jesus is Lord. And in your heart, you know that because God has resurrected Jesus from the dead. Back to the Philippians passage, he says, at the name of Jesus, that's the human name given him, every knee should bow. Bow meaning what? Humility and reverence and honor of those in heaven, meaning in heaven. Who's in heaven? Angels and believers in Christ. Those on earth, meaning everyone on earth. Those under the earth, meaning the demonic forces. Even hell will recognize that Jesus is Lord. And that all non-followers of Christ who one day go to hell or who are in hell today are declaring Jesus is Lord. And every tongue should confess. That means that we should openly acknowledge. We should openly confess. We should openly acknowledge and recognize to everyone what? Jesus Christ is Lord. That's a very important statement. What you have here is the human name of Jesus wedded with the divine name of Jesus, and you have the union of the divine with the union of the human, and together you have the very thing that is talked about in John chapter 1, and that is the divine took place in the man, God incarnate, God in the flesh. Jesus Christ is the absolute sovereign authority. And why is he that? And what should that result in? He is that to the glory of God the Father. You know what that means, the glory of God the Father? That means that all of heaven is worshiping him as Lord and worshiping the Father in heaven. And remember what I said a moment ago, even to introduce the passage, and that is, when Jesus is Lord, then everything else is not. When Paul declared Jesus Christ is Lord, he was also saying Caesar is not. Therefore, Jesus is Lord. What does this mean? What does it mean today that Jesus Christ is Lord? Let's talk about that even deeper. It means that he is the sovereign authority. He is the sovereign authority. In other words, he is about everything. He is over everyone. He is the superior one. And when you really go to the bottom line, let's just cut it straight today. He is the only one. He is in sovereign authority over everything. I think that's important for us to remember today in our personal lives, in our country, and in our world. He has and he is sovereign authority. It also means he has the right to rule over everything and over everyone. Yes, he has the right to rule. It means that he has mastery over everything and everyone. Jesus is master and Jesus is Lord. He is over all, he is through all, and he is in all. Jesus is Lord. But the scripture also indicates that he is the owner
of all. I mean, he owns it all. You know what? We will have giving hearts and we will be generous people when we know that God owns everything. We will feel a lot better in life when we realize that God owns everything, because that means he even owns your problems. He even owns your struggles. He is compassionate towards you, whatever you're facing in your life. Because Jesus Christ is Lord, what else does this mean? This means that there should also be what I call today universal reverence. Universal reverence. Because he is Lord, there should be universal reverence. Universal means what? It means everything, everyone, everywhere. In other words, everything, everyone, everywhere will give Jesus reverence because Jesus is Lord. Today, we may not see that in our culture, but I'm telling you, my friend, there is a day coming when everything, everyone, everywhere will declare him as being Jesus Christ the Lord. Also, it declares what I call universal honor. Universal honor. Oh, listen, friend, when we bow on our knees to Jesus and we bow before him because Jesus is Lord, bowing indicates reverence and bowing indicates honor. I ask you today a question. When is the last time have you been on your knees recognizing Jesus Christ is Lord? When is the last time you have prayed on your knees? When is the last time have you humbled yourself in reverence and honor to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? When does that happen? There are times that we sit before the Lord and pray. There are times when we stand before the Lord and pray. But let's get it right straight today. There are times when we get on our knees in honor and reverence because Jesus Christ is Lord. At a ball game, you stand when a touchdown is done. When you recognize Jesus Christ as Lord, you hit your knees. There's also universal confession. Everyone saying, according to the scripture, every tongue confessing. You know what that universal confession is? It is admitting openly and recognizing publicly to all that Jesus Christ is Lord. You know what else is interesting? He says that there will be universal worship. Universal worship to what? To the glory of God the Father. Doxa, worship, glory to God the Father. Oh, dear friend, I ask you today, do you understand that Christ is Lord? So Jesus is Lord. We understand what it means biblically a little bit better, but let's talk about what it means personally today. What does it mean personally to you and me that Jesus Christ is Lord? Jesus is Lord and nothing else is Lord. Jesus is Lord and no one else is Lord. And you've got to believe that in your heart today. Therefore, what does God want us to do? He wants us to live like it. I ask you today, do you live like Jesus is Lord? Have you been living this week that he is the sovereign authority in my life? Have you? Have you lived this morning like he is the sovereign authority in your life? The kind of authority that understands I own nothing and he owns everything. The kind of authority that understands that he is master over all my issues. He is master over all my problems. And he is master over all of my successes. I'm telling you today, ladies and gentlemen, we need to live like Jesus is Lord. That means that we live like he is the ruler of my life. He is not at my beck and call. I am at his beck and call. Do you understand today? Are you getting it today? What we have to understand is that this deal is really not about us. It's all about him. That it's really a story, not a story of your life. but a story of God's life and how he unfolded the Savior to die for the sins of the world so that you could even have a halfway story to know and to have and to cherish in your life. I'm telling you this morning, he is Lord. Live like it. Because he's Lord, love like it. Love like it. Do you realize today that he is to receive my number one love? Gene is not to receive my number one love. Jesus is to receive my number one love. Gina is not to compete for my Savior's love. She is to understand her place, that it's Christ first and Gina second. Do you understand today that we serve a God who is a jealous God? A God who wants your best all the time from you. A God who wants your love. A God who wants all of your love. He doesn't want to share you with the world. He doesn't want to share you with a hobby, with a job, with a friend, or with a spouse. He wants your love. And he is Lord. And because he's Lord, we live like it. And because he's Lord, we got to love like it. Do you love like it? And when is the last time have you even told Jesus, Jesus, I love you? I know what some of the guys are saying. Oh, man, that's a little strange. That's a little tough for me. Well, you need to get over it. You need to grow up in your faith. Don't sit there and act like macho man. You're not half what you think you are. Because if you were really what God wanted you to be, you'd be understanding that God wants you to love him. And without you loving him, you have no life. Without you loving him, you are limiting your future. You are limiting your potential. So you love like it. Jesus Christ is Lord, therefore you should talk like it. Do you talk like Jesus is Lord? In your speech? In your words? In your conversation? In your humor? Do you talk like Jesus is Lord? I mean, are you serious about this thing called your mouth, called your tongue? You know, James puts it all in perspective. James said, our tongues are like a flame of fire, and they're set on fire by hell. And who can even tame the tongue? The tongue is hard to tame. And James answers an incredible question. How can we bless our Lord with one moment and we don't talk right the next? You know what James understood? He understood because he walked with him, and he understood because he died for him. He understood that Jesus Christ was Lord, and Jesus Christ wanted us to live like it, love like it, and talk like it. And that's why James drew an incredible parallel. If a person cannot bridle their tongue, then their religion is worthless. Then what they say they are, and who they say they are, and what they're about is worthless. You know, the American culture has a runaway tongue constantly. From the talk show to the television to the internet to the blogosphere to the workplace to the family to the church. God help us. We need to get a hold of our tongues. We need to talk like Jesus Christ is Lord. Do you talk like it? And I ask you today, do you worship like it? Do you worship like it? I mean, with my life, I am to worship him because Jesus Christ is Lord. I mean, I ask you today, do you worship like it on Sundays? I mean, Sunday's the day. Sunday's the day that Jesus was raised from the dead. Yesterday, my grandson Parker had a birthday. He was 2. And the family and friends gathered at a pool, and we watched the little kids play while we were hot. And we celebrated his birthday. Every Sunday morning, it's birthday time around here. It's celebration time. It is the day that we commemorate. More important than Christmas is Resurrection Day. The day that Jesus was raised from the dead. I mean, do we worship like it? With our participation when we're here. I mean, let me ask you, did you give your A game today when you walked in worship? Did you give it your best when we were singing songs unto God? Have you given it your best today to hear and to listen and to participate and to grow while the word is being proclaimed? I mean, we need to understand that we need to worship like Jesus Christ is Lord. If we come in here and our minds are everywhere else in the world, and we're sitting there putting text messages to our buddies while the service is going on, or we're doing this or we're doing that, and our minds and our hearts are not here. My goodness, if Christ is Lord, let's worship him like he's Lord. If he's not, burn the church. Get rid of it. Sell the property. Let's go do something else. But he's Lord. And whether we act like it or not, and even worship like it, he is still Lord. And while you may be too big shot to confess him on this world, or to get on your knees as a Christian and pray to him periodically, there will be a day when all of heaven and all of earth and all under the earth will confess on their knees that Jesus Christ is Lord. I ask you today, are you worshiping like he's Lord? Many times we walk in and we serve our role here. We become spectators and we look more than participate. We expect more than we participate. But worship is participating. I mean, in marriage, you simply don't look at your mate. You talk with your mate. You converse with your mate. You interact with your mate. You live life with your mate. Worship is a life issue. And every day, because Christ is Lord, you are worshiping him as Lord. You know, one of the things I'm really just going to be flat out honest with you today, and I'm not picking on anybody, but I want to tell you something. We need to get a hold of coming to church late. We need to act like Jesus Christ is Lord. If you walked in church today and you're not a member of our church, you're a guest and you had a hard time finding things, that's one thing. I understand that. And I understand there are things that do happen even to some of our wonderful members along the way. But I want to challenge you today. Would you clean that up in your life? I mean, we're coming to worship Jesus Christ as Lord. This isn't like come as you are, come as you want, come when you want. And hey, we got 50-minute Christians here. They come late and they leave early. And by the way, I want to tell you something. Leaving early, that doesn't honor God. Jesus Christ is Lord. Well, I got to get ready for the next hour. Let me tell you something. The next hour is not near as important as this hour. You sit in your seat till the service is over. Well, I got to meet somebody for lunch. Well, listen, you need to decide, is he Lord or are they Lord? You take a choice. You say, wow, that's pretty tough. I'm telling you, friend, if you saw what I saw on Sunday morning from this pulpit, it would absolutely, absolutely discourage you greatly. This is not an arena. This is a worship service. This is not about going out and getting popcorn and Cokes so you can go root for the Razorbacks to beat Texas. No, it's deeper than that. We're here to worship Jesus Christ, and we need to give him our best and give him our all. That's what we must do. I tell you what, when we say Jesus is Lord, we mean it. And that means that nothing else is Lord. And that means that no one else is Lord. I ask you today, is Jesus Christ Lord of your life? Is he Lord of your life? Are you living like he's Lord, Christian? Are you loving like he's Lord? Are you talking like he's Lord? And are you worshiping like he's Lord? I'm telling you, today needs to be a day of deep, deep, deep repentance. Deep repentance. Deep repentance. Privately. And even many of us publicly. Jesus is Lord deserves more than a sigh from you. It deserves more than a whatever. And more than a so what. Years ago, I heard a statement, and I've never forgotten the statement. Sometimes we would categorize it as a cliche, and maybe it does not have the aura that it once did, but it's still a correct statement. If Jesus is not Lord of all, then Jesus is not Lord at all. Is he Lord of all in your life? Periodically, God does a unique thing when a man of God preaches the word. And memories many times are made when he declares the word. One of the great things about music is that music gets to be sung more than one time. Many times preaching hardly ever gets to be redone. It hardly ever gets the privilege of saying, wow, that was incredible. God moved profoundly. Let's celebrate what Jesus did. Today, I want to show you something before you go. We prepared this some 2 years ago, and this morning I decided I was going to do it here. Because I do not know of anything that I could say that should get you more in your life of embracing that he's Lord than what you're about to hear and see. His name was S.M. Lockridge, born in Texas, an African-American preacher, now with the Lord since the year 2000. Pastored in San Diego, California, the last part of his ministry. S.M. meant what? Dr. Shadrach Meshach Lockridge, the son of an African-American preacher. I want you to understand today, Jesus Christ is Lord. We need to live like it, love like it, talk like it, and worship like it. You know why? Because he's my king. He is my king. Watch this right now.